Is it true? No, we should turn it over there and see your boss.
Has the recording started?
I would like to welcome everyone here to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly?
I can hear you loud and clear, Councillor Hart.
Yes,
you can. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would like to remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on the item and should not take part in the vote.
Chair, in relation to the ERT, I declared an interest at the meeting with being a board member of the East Border Region in relation to the Greenway. So when that comes up, I'll excuse myself. Thanks, Chair.
That's okay, Terry. Item one, any apologies?
Chair Josephine Kelly.
Chair, with apologies from Councillors Gibbons, Kelly and Taylor.
Thank you, Sarah. So we move on to Chairperson's remarks. On behalf of the Council, I would like to send a letter of condolence to the family of young Dylan Valerie, who tragically lost his life on the 15th of November after a car crash a number of weeks before. Dylan was a nephew of our colleague Louise Dylan. I have launched the charities that I will support during my term in office as follows. Downright Brilliant, Life Changes, Changes Lives, Newry All-Stars Special Olympic Club, Sound Friends and the Wellian Warriors. These charities represent a diverse range of causes. Their significant contribution transforms the lives of many individuals and families in the heart of our community. All five charities share the same challenges, reduced funding and a lack of volunteers, both of which continues to impact on their ability to deliver their range of support services. All of the charities and their volunteers across the district work tirelessly all year round, always going the extra mile to assist those who are most in need. I've also agreed to support 7 food banks in our area this year on the run-up to Christmas, contributing £500 to each of them. It is fitting that I, as chairperson, help and support the most vulnerable in our district. The food banks in our district do sterling work to help those in need, not only at Christmas time, but all year round. The cost of living crisis is an incredibly challenging time for people in our district and right across the north of Ireland. I am pleased that I can help in some small way to provide some essential support for those who need it most. But we move on then to item two, which is the declarations of interest. Okay. Item 3 is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 6th of November 2023. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Could I have a proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Councillor Finn, you have a comment?
Yeah, it's just in relation to page 2. I had asked for an update on the Leisure Centre in relation to the learner pool. I know Paul isn't here, but I think there are a number of questions that need to be answered on a number of points. I have had so many people in contact with me about the facilities that are currently operating within the Leisure Centre. So there's one gentleman that's been in touch actually that for 6 Saturdays in a row, he hasn't been able to book a slot on a Saturday. He is a member of the Leisure Centre, and I think we need to be looking at this in a really serious way to make sure, number one, that people are actually informed as to what's happening, but also that we are looking after people who are paying membership fees, because we know how important that is. There's issues with actual space within the pool in terms of the number of lanes that are being used for private swim lessons versus the number of lanes that are available for people, and the capacity within the pool to actually house all of those who want to swim there. I don't know if Marie can potentially give an update on this, but I think it is really important that we're informing people across Newry who are using the facilities and aren't necessarily happy with what they're paying for, particularly when members aren't being able to use services for 6 weeks in a row. It's incredibly frustrating, and people are, I imagine, going to choose to go elsewhere if it continues.
Chair, I couldn't give you an update on the specific matter that you raised in relation to a person not being able to use the facility for 6 weeks. And what I'll ask is that Paul brings a report to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee this month, just dealing with Newry Leisure Centre and any of the issues that have been experienced there.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Finn. Item 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of November 2023. We will go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19, page 20, page 21. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Finn. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Item 5 is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 30th of October 2023. Okay. Sorry. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Sharvin. Seconded by Councillor Campbell. Any matters arising? Item 6. Is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 6th of November 2023. I will go through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Could I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor McAteer. Good, we have a second. Seconded by Councillor Devlin. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, no, just a quick question there, just in the minutes there, and the and a motion that was requested for an independent review into the flooding. I'm just curious, or questioning rather, interested to know, has this been progressed at all to the knowledge of the council, given the motion as amended last month? I think it's important elected representatives and those directly affected business owners and residents, they require an avenue by which they can feed into this review. And it's also important for us as a council that whatever learnings from it can be taken and moving forward can be put into practice if required again. So just mm-hmm. that, Chair.
Yeah, Chair. Yes, the review, independent review, is being progressed centrally between the departments, and council will be included in that. In terms of reference, hasn't been agreed as yet, but I suppose there's still a degree of response going on in recovery mode. So I would anticipate that there will be something coming, and we will get information regarding that terms of review that will allow councillors and others to be involved in that.
Okay.
I will bring detail back when I get it.
Thanks for Max Tier.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm roughly in the same vein again. Yeah, that's on page two. Well, I heard you said very there that there's going to be an independent review, but the wording of the motion was that council agrees that a robust and comprehensive review of its response, that's the council's response, throughout these incidents should commence immediately. So I'm asking, has that commenced internally in the council that we can feed into independently of any other review? Because we've also asked in the next sentence that we write, which we've done, to all relevant statutory agencies that were involved to carry their own reviews. So I'm very keen to have the internal report dealt with and looked at, because I think I mentioned at the time, right, we spoke about this, that these things are liable to get buried in the vaults of history. And reports inevitably be produced about 12 months later, if we were lucky. So I presume nothing has happened yet, but I'm very keen to see our wishes, which are worded in the motion, that the council has its review begun quite immediately. The other follow-up to that as well is that the much-lauded £15 million is supposed to be made available. There's supposed to be 13 millions left. So it's the 7,500 that some people received. Is that supposed to be the panacea? And with no other, that I hear, there's no other progress been made. And this is roughly one month since the incident happened. And the businesses that are uninsured are still there hanging out, literally to dry, as they say, at this moment in time. So I'm very keen to see if there's anything happening in regard to the 13 million, when it's happening, and has there been any discussion with council officers and the relevant bodies, governmental bodies, civil service, etc., that we hope will be releasing those funds?
Okay, sure. Yes, in regards to an internal review, to be fair, council is still very much in response recovery. We do have an internal meeting scheduled at officer level, and then we will progress that board in relation to involvement of others. I think that's possibly scheduled for the next week or so. So that will be progressed. But to be fair, we've been very much concentrating on the recovery and response in the financial packages. So council have been administering the funding on behalf of central government, as elected members know. The second phase is due to hopefully be announced soon. It is being worked on with the relevant government departments, and it is, I suppose, being discussed by the relevant government departments with UK Treasury, because it requires UK Treasury approval. As soon as I have an update on that, I will bring that to elected members. I suppose I've been pushing very hard and very keen that we get that announced as soon as possible, but we just have to go through the various different rigours that have to be gone through.
Yeah, thanks, Bree. And I presume that you'll be reporting back to us then at the interim review.
Yeah, sure, that will be done. I wouldn't expect anything to come through committees until after Christmas.
And I know, this is the last meeting.
To be fair, Chair, through the Chair, I would just say council officers have been involved in delivering a role that was not theirs prior to flooding in relation to the actual financial recovery. So we've had to divert officers from all sections, and that is our priority at this point, is actually getting the financial packages out to businesses, and that will continue to be our priority. But we will be getting the review underway, so I don't anticipate anything you won't be getting anything pre-Christmas on that, okay?
Yeah, I know. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Rice.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just was reading for the minutes. I obviously welcome the fact that it specifically mentions the A2 coastal route, a review of it. At the Shore Road and the Newcastle Road, Coquille, whenever the landslide occurred at the Shore Road and obviously the bridge was undermined in Coquille, it left residents completely isolated, particularly residents in Cologne who were actually caught between the flooding at Ballyadmin Corner and the Shore Road. But I would like to include within the minutes, if possible, that a review of the infrastructure and maintenance in the Mourns DA as a whole is reviewed, as I have grave concerns that the road gullies and storm drains were not appropriately cleaned. I believe that the failure to maintain these exacerbated the issue in the Mourns DA. So if that could be included with the review that's happening, that would be good. Thank you.
Sure, you can't include something in the minute that wasn't discussed at the meeting. So what I would suggest, if you make that a proposal and we can, if you have a seconder, then we can certainly have that. But it couldn't be, you can't amend a minute that didn't exist in the minute, if that makes sense.
Well, then I'll change that to a proposal then, or an amendment, please.
There'll be a seconder. Councillor Murphy, seconder. Thank you. And just is everybody content with that?
Yep.
Okay. Then Councillor Sharpton.
Thank you, Chair. It's in similar vein to my colleague Councillor McIntyre in relation to the funding. I suppose the first question is clarity on Council's role in the administration of the monies. It has been batted about that the Council have put in bureaucratic criteria that have limited the monies that are being currently released. So it would be good to clarify actually who set the criteria, what role does the council have? And additionally, where there is some doubt within an application, and obviously as a council we want to support as many businesses that are affected within the funding that we have, do we seek guidance from the department on those applications to ensure that, one, we get the decision right and that the money is shared out? And then secondly, Chair, it is extremely good to hear that our Chief Executive is continuing to push for phase two as quickly as possible, because on the ground, talking to businesses every day, you know, some are still struggling, some still haven't had insurance paid out, that they're facing challenges in actually keeping the doors open. And certainly they would be appreciative of any clarity of what any future funding could be to them. So if we could have some clarity, it would be great.
Sure. So I suppose due to the nature of the extent of flooding in our district, I have been very much part of the subgroup of the recovery subgroup, economic subgroup put together, which is a makeup of the various different departments across central government. The packet, the original funding, you will know that we had to, I suppose, lobby very hard to the Northern Ireland office, and it was an announcement then by the Secretary of State. That money, albeit, and I will even say it is a recirculation of Northern Ireland money, which we would have preferred new money, so I think that's important just to say that fact as well. But that money then requires approval through UK Treasury. So the first package was developed up jointly with ourselves, but the criteria then requires, it needs to meet certain levels to meet the UK Treasury requirements. So I'm council administering the funding on behalf of then central government. And the reason that we said that we would take the role of administering it was to try and get it out and reach the various people within our district. It also covers Armagh, Banbridge, Craigavon, Antrim and Newton Abbey and Ards, North Down and Lisburn and Castlereagh as well, and they're being administered by those their councils. So that gives you an idea that it's been administered by other by councils. The second package, as I said, it's been developed up and is being considered and discussed between the various relevant government departments and UK Treasury. And I suppose we're just waiting to see where that actually gets announced. That will be administered again by the local councils. And we're just looking at how the process of that will be done, because it will be slightly different than the process that we've had to do for the 7,500. So, but as I say, we're keen to try and get that moving as quickly as possible, but we are subject to the rigours of UK Treasury.
Right. Thanks, Mary.
Councillor Hanlon. Yeah, it's keeping on the theme of the flooding assistance. I think it's welcome that we are now moving on to phase two, and I would like to think, you know, that it will come out as quickly as possible and allay fears of the business community, in particular coming up to the Christmas season, where they've seen their foot flow, especially in Downpatrick, decimated. The big retailers haven't come back yet, and that for all that we complained about them now, we're looking for them back, because they do bring people into Downpatrick. We did have a great weekend there, and I would just hope that people just continue in that spirit of supporting local businesses. I do still have concerns around the how the scheme was designed in the first instance, where people have been locked out of the scheme because they have insurance. And, you know, you can argue the point that, you know, basically departments shouldn't be coming in and covering commercial insurance cover. But at the end of the day, this was a very niche thing that happened to our district. And I think the reason for the 7,500 was immediate relief. But those businesses don't have that immediate relief. They still don't know if they're going to get a payout. So I would propose that we write to the Department of Economy, who are designing the schemes, as a council, and put on record, you know, that we do want them to relook at this for those businesses that have missed out, and try and get the, you know, the relief to them. I think it is a bit short-sighted, because when we look at the impact that it had, as I say, it's just something that we couldn't have predicted. No business could have planned for this either. When a business sits down and does their 3, 4, 5 year plan, they don't think they're going to end up 6 feet underwater in the space of a couple of days. So, you know, I just think we need to think outside the box a wee bit with this one as well. And it's important that Councillor Sharvin has raised as well. It's been widely muted on social media that council are, you know, basically the bureaucrats here, where we're not. We're actually, as Marie said, trying to get the money out the door and administer the scheme. And I think that needs to be noted, you know, that who is actually designing the schemes, and that they do have to go through Treasury as well. So I would put that as a proposal if we could get support for it.
I'm happy to say.
Sorry, I was thinking what you said from Councillor Hanlon. And I think it's very important for all members here to be aware that the scheme is being administered by council. Council will be subject to audit on this. So council will be subject to, we're already doing our own internal audit process to try and ensure that we have the scheme right. We will also be subject to audit by the Department for the Economy. And we will be further subject to audit by the Northern Ireland Audit Office. So those things are absolutely critical in the understanding and delivery of any scheme, and ensuring that we actually meet the requirements, and ensure that we try to meet the requirements of the scheme as set out when actually applying and sending the financial support to businesses. So I think that's really important for members to remember that fact. We are administering, and we will be subject to audit, and we'll have to go back through our audit committee. So it's not just a matter of us giving money. We have to follow the rigours of what the scheme sets out.
Councillor Kinley.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, just to act, Chairperson, with Marie, I just noticed there in the minutes, and I thought one of my colleagues maybe would have picked up on it. Evidently not, but when Gareth made the amendment to Una's original motion on this agenda item, there was no proposal or seconder. So I just wanted to double check that the motion, as was passed, actually the status of that motion is 100%.
Chair, the motion, and I'm working from memory, would have been when Councillor Sharvin amended it, and would have been accepted by Councillor Hanlon, and that's the motion, and Councillor McMurray is seconder, and it's there within the action. So yeah.
So that didn't, Marie. That didn't. The amendment, sorry, did not have to go to a proposer and seconder once you accepted it. Is that correct?
It was agreed, so it was by the two people who moved the motion.
Thank you.
It became part of the motion.
Thank you.
Councillor Riley.
Thanks very much, Chair. It was just that the, as a result of one of the comments I had made about sandbags at that meeting, Jonathan McKee's office came back to me and pointed out that they will provide the container and the sandbags if we can identify a location where we can put them. And certainly I would like one in the heart of Mourne area somewhere, because if we had had access to sandbags early on, we could have prevented some flooding to domestic premises and businesses. So if management can give that serious consideration. And if we're getting sandbags, Madam Chair, a few bags of salt, because I anticipate frost and snow could be our next emergency remained water again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley.
Yeah, and Chair, we picked that up through the emergency planning structures with River Gate and things.
Item 7 is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 13th of November 2023. We'll go through the pages for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Followed by Councillor Lee Sergener.
Sorry.
Proposed by Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor Lee Sergener. Any matters arising? Item 8 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of November 2023. We go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. We have a proposer and seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Byrne.
All right, Sarah.
Councillor Byrne, you have a comment?
Yeah, just a comment on page, I think it's page 5. And I had raised from the applications of the major planning applications jumping by 209 weeks, which I thought was astonishing. I couldn't get my head around the figures of how over a 52-week period it can jump by that much. But the council officers, both council officers have come back on this. It's obviously down to how long an application sits there. So it's actually just one application. Whereas, you know, you can get out in the media inquiries that the planning department is far worse than it was last year, when it's simply not the case. And it got into a conversation around getting rid of those legacy applications, because they're sort of skewing, not sort of, they are skewing our figures. It doesn't matter about the number of applications that you can put through, in whether major planning applications or just normal planning applications. If you've got older ones sitting there, it's just going to push our figures up. So there is going to be a bit of effort to try and get those applications shifted, and rightly so. We want to make sure that when that effort is put in place, and we've got new officers or new people going into planning in the next week or so, that it doesn't take away from the planning applications that are coming in now, because we need to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball on those, because we have a lot of complaints around those. So I think the best thing to do is to have a report coming back on how we're going to tackle this, now that we know how these figures are being presented, Vanessa. And one allocation of resource that we're going to put on the legacy planning applications, and one allocation of the new resource is going to be put to try and deal with normal planning applications. And I think if that goes back to SPNR committee in January, we'd all be able to get our teeth around it. Happy to propose them.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, Chair, we're happy to take a report back.
Right, there's item 8.1. Sorry, just before
the proposing second, just I wanted just to note to Council tonight, the contract for funding that was tabled at SPNR, there has been just a slight amendment to it, but it's an operational amendment regarding vouching. So just to note that, but as was the event today where we all got very, very cold, and we're moving to sign that contract for funding and to progress on with the delivery of Nearly 20 Park.
Thank you. A seconder for Councillor Byrne's proposal.
Councillor McAteer.
Councillor McAteer. Move on to item 9. It's the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 20th of November 2023. We just go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Kate Murphy. And seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair, sure, thank you. And it's in relation to the last items, the support NIE investment programme. And I'm not sure if Paul's with us online or not. But Chair, it's actually great to see a new number of local councillors in the Downpatrick area working with the Family Autism Group have been championing at the bit. To get some more inclusive and autism-friendly swimming lessons, one-to-one and group-wise, organised. It's great to see that we've secured some funding for this. But is there a timeline for whenever these programmes can start being implemented? But if, I don't know if Paul's here, so you can come back to us.
Sure, we'll pick that up and come back to you on that matter.
Moving on, item 10 is the minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 22nd of November 2023. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7 and page 8. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. And seconded by Councillor Cairns. Councillor Enright, do you have a question?
Yes, Chair. I was actually going to propose the minutes myself. But I also wanted to amend two small points for what I think are points of accuracy. Regarding the fleet replacement proposal on page 3, during the meeting on the 22nd, I noted that I was delighted that management appeared to have accepted the calculations I got from Dundee Council that showed that EVs were financially a better option for small and medium vans and would be getting them in 2024 in Downpatrick. But at the meeting, I was told that we couldn't do this in Newry, even though small and medium vans are better as EVs, because there was an issue with charging points at the Newry depot. Now, I took time out to check this out for myself, and I can't see why we can't put charging points at the Newry depot the same as we can in Downpatrick. So I'd just like to make that amendment and have it looked at again. Secondly, at the meeting on the 22nd, we agreed to look at the whole life cost of mechanical sweepers and forklift trucks as well as against EVs. But since that time, I've had a chance to talk to Manchester, and Manchester, who are the leaders of the Nuclear Free Local Authorities organisation that we're a member of, say that bin lorries and other classifications of vehicles are also cheaper over their lifetime value, and they've been running bin lorries in particular for 5 years. Now, we may be a bit late there, but what I think should be an amendment there is that we should habitually look at the whole life cost of all classes of vehicles based on their lifetime cost versus EVs. So there are the two amendments. One, to look at the Newry depot again, and secondly, to make a point of always looking at the whole life cost of every classification of vehicle and try and learn what the councils in GB are telling us, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright.
Chair, we'll certainly make the amendments and come back to council as committee regarding that. I just want to clarify about the Newry depot. There is a what I believe I was trying to say at the meeting was that there is a limitation on the number of electric vehicles at the Newry depot, which is different to the limitation at Strangford Road. In other words, there's less spare capacity in Newry than there is in Strangford Road.
Councillor Riley.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. It was just on the issue of the fast charge, and I attended the meeting in Dundalk last Thursday where this was discussed, and I was impressed with what some of the southern councils have done under this scheme whereby they've put the chargers in smaller villages and towns to attract people into them, whereas we don't seem to have done that. We've kept it to the bigger areas, and even outside, you'll see the new chargers. And if I was a member of the public, I would be thinking that's councillors looking after themselves rather than putting them in smaller villages. But whenever you inquire about why a town or village like Ballymartin or Annalong couldn't get them, it's because the electricity infrastructure won't support it. And in fairness to Councillor Enright, he did actually highlight some of the issues regarding this in a paper he presented to council. And I didn't give it serious consideration at the time, but I have read it now, and it really does make sense. And we should be really lobbying the power suppliers in this country to up their ante, up their game, and especially for Downpatrick and Kilkeel and the areas in between. And I believe some parts of South Armagh also, you know, you can't put one of those fast chargers in the likes of Cross McGlen or Silverbridge because they don't have the proper power there. So smaller communities will lose out because we don't have that electricity infrastructure. And again, I would maybe ask Cathy or Councillor Enright if he would circulate that paper he'd done on his, to the Mourne councillors especially, just to it's frightening when you look at the fact that a big factory coming into Kilkeel, if they identified it as a location, could not locate there because the power supply is inadequate to maintain a big factory. So we're losing out big time, and I would appreciate if the council would agree to maybe even ask for a special meeting for the Mourne councillors with NIE and Power NI to try and really lobby hard to get this looked at in a serious way. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Riley.
Chair, I think Power NI are due to present or have a special meeting for council anyway in January, so it wouldn't be specific to the Mourns, but it would just be. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to some of the points that Councillor Enright had raised, Andrew actually answered or raised the points, so that there will be something coming back. In relation to Councillor Reddy's points on, you know, I think we need to source massive investment to bring the infrastructure up to a grade A standard to be able to take the chargers, you know. And I do agree that if there was more funding and more investment available, we would get more of a rollout. And I would say the Faster project has been a very good project in relation to supplying electric chargers to the areas in question. But a lot more work needs to be done. And I think we need a lot more money sourced to enable the infrastructure to be upgraded and also to ensure there's a proper rollout right across the district where popular where needed. But I think investment is the key here, and we need to source that to move on. Thank you.
Chair, I'm content to bring a paper back to Sustainable the Environment in relation to those green issues and related matters.
Thank you, Andrew. Items 12 to 14 are for noting. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Truesdale, seconded by Councillor Quinn. Finn. Councillor Murphy, Kate.
Hi, thanks, Chair. Just on the A1, the safety improvements in the A1 need to be delivered as a matter of priority. Budget constraints are affecting every aspect for delivery of key projects. The scheme to upgrade the A1 has been well documented, and it would include the closure of 100 gaps in the central reservations and construction of grade-separated junctions on the road. In 2021, officials indicated that with 18 months of procurement and 3 years of construction, it could take approximately 5 years following a commitment to proceed with the scheme for the upgrade to be fully delivered. We are now 2 years down the line with no progression. This is a matter of public safety. The correspondence we have received back is utterly depressing and a stark reminder the absence of an executive is really reprehensible at this stage when this is the outcome for the people we represent. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan. Right, moving on. Item 15 is notice of motion, and it's on flood defences. The motion has been received from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, your motion will be deferred to Sustainability and Environment Committee. If you would read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thanks, Chair. I'll read the motion first. Recent flooding has exposed the clear inadequacy of flood defences within the district. To address this, and in the absence of a functioning Stormont executive to swiftly invest in flood defence infrastructure, Council will work with Louth Council, the Irish Government and relevant Stormont departments to submit a funding application to the Shared Island Unit for upgrades to relevant flood defence systems in this district. In particular, this work will consider the ongoing Newry flood alleviation projects, the Shimna and Burren River flood alleviation schemes in Newcastle, the lack of capital investment in Downpatrick with particular reference to water flow at the new Belfast Road Bridge and the lack of capacity of the Coyle Barrier to release enough water between high tides, to seek a replacement for the Coyle Barrier in a manner similar to the Lagan River Barrier with a design suitable for the next 100 years. Examine the outcome of work undertaken in the past in areas like Ross River, Flurry Bridge and other areas to assess the effectiveness of investment in any future plans and seek an update on the adequacy of the schedule of rivers maintenance work across the district. Thanks, Chair. Oh, seconder. Yeah, Mr. Jill.
And just for the benefit of the recording, it was referred under Standing Order 16.1.6. Thank you, Councillor Enright. Item 16 is the Notice of Motion on Flood Preparedness, and the Notice of Motion has been received from Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Truesdale, it will be referred under... Sorry. Sorry, we just want to go back to item 13. We missed a comment from Councillor O'Hara.
Hello, yes, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on the letter from the Ards and North Borough Council regarding lifelong learning, and just to say that the sentiments behind the letter are very welcome and very positive, and it's an area that does need the support of elected representatives. But I wanted to comment that I just hope that the focus is actually on providing the funds required by education to do their job, which is to provide lifelong learning, and education. What it does not need is more bureaucracy. So I would be just cautious on it for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Item 16 is a notice of motion on flood preparedness. A notice of motion has been received from Councillor Truesdale. it will be referred under Standing Order 16.1.6 to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. Councillor Truesdale, if you'd just read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's going to be seconded by Councillor McMurray. That this council explores the purchasing and storing of sandless sandbags and flood barriers and exploration of other forms of more environmentally conscious flood defences suitable for a range of flooding incidents and sewage protection. Writes to the NIEA calling for the immediate implementation of a flood warning system in line with England, Scotland and Wales, and fully implement the creation of community flood plans such as those used by the Environment Agency. Meets with the Drainage and Flooding Council and Rivers Agency to explore the adequacy and performance of their flood defence capital investments in the district. Examines the maintenance schedules in Murray Moreton Down District for shores, road shocks, gullies and major drains, like the plank or soil drains in Dunpatrick, between the different agencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Item 17 is a notice of motion utilising green spaces. It will be referred under Standing Order 16.1.6 to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee. Councillor Campbell, if you just read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Chair. My motion is going to be seconded by Councillor Finnegan. This council recognises the importance of utilising green spaces and enhancing them for the benefit of our local communities. Council notes the positive impact that green spaces can have on people's mental health and wellbeing. Council further notes the Woodland Trust assessment trees can act as a natural flood mitigation measure. Council therefore will look at options to deliver a native tree planting scheme in Dunleith Park, which will not only enhance civic green space for the local community, but also assist potential future flooding incidents.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Item 18 is a notice of motion. Emotional health and well-being of young people will be heard here at full council. So if you want to go ahead, Councillor Gilbreth.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. This one is seconded by Councillor O'Hare in the absence of Councillor Hall this evening. And it reads, Newry Morning Down Council agrees to note the young people experiencing emotional problems. They find it difficult to engage with the education process to reach their full potential, especially those aged 16 to 18, and may require sustained contact with an adult who is not directly involved with their education or training to provide necessary therapies. Welcomes the work undertaken by the Independent Counselling Service for Schools, the ICSS, as well as the support in further education to support the emotional health and well-being of young people. Supports the need for schools, colleges and other youth providers to bring in external agencies with necessary expertise when there's limited access to support, and will write to all schools, colleges and youth providers in the district to ascertain the challenges they are facing in obtaining these resources, and commits to revisit this matter once responses have been received to determine if additional finance support may be required. So I've had the privilege of meeting with young people who are part of a youth-led research project conducted by the Guest Active Youth Advisory Group here in Northern Ireland. They are a diverse collective of young people who meet regularly to discuss holiday programmes, how to ensure children get enough healthy food and physical activity, and how to improve the lives of those from disadvantaged backgrounds. They've worked with over 200 young people and surveyed them between ages of 11 to 25, both online and face-to-face, covering many topics. And prior to the elections, I took part in their local government hustings event, where they questioned election candidates on some hard-hitting topics, which is published in the Best Start in Life. The advisory group asked all candidates, if elected, what we would do to provide free therapy to improve young people's mental health. And with this in mind, I'm asking for council support this evening to bring this motion forward in order to see what other support is required and ensure that this council plays an active role moving this forward. Thank you.
And Councillor Hall's on the meeting.
I'm happily for Councillor O'Hare to go ahead, Valerie.
Okay, Roisin, thank you. Councillor O'Hare.
Hello, yes.
The support of young people who may be experiencing emotional difficulties is a very important aspect of what happens in our schools and colleges, and this is often underfunded and resourced, so I welcome the motion from Councillor Galbraith. I would seek a little bit of clarity about some of the wording, if you don't mind, and if I could just check, you have just the way something's worded there, it says that young people may require sustained contact with a qualified adult who is not directly involved with their education or training and can provide necessary therapies. And I just wanted to double check that you mean a qualified counsellor. In that case, would you mind amending the motion to insert a qualified counsellor? And there's just a little bit of lack of clarity there, I feel, in what we mean by the therapies at that point.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Are you happy to amend it, Councillor Gilbreth?
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to second. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor O'Hara. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Galbraith, for bringing this forward. My concerns reflect the same as Councillor O'Hare. So I'd just like to lay them out, and perhaps our amendments will be the same. I was concerned at the words qualified adult and necessary expertise. I am a qualified academic counsellor, which means I have no client hours other than training with my class group. But because the UK has no statutory regulations of counsellors, I can still put a sign on my door and charge for counselling, and this is why I'm concerned. Unless people know the right questions to ask, it leaves the practice open to exploitation, which it is. The EA have the provision set up where schools can opt for a company or person from the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy, which you pay to be on. They tender for the work, and that usually means the cheapest gets it. They get around any current stipulations by employing counsellors fresh from a Level 5 foundation degree and saying they are working towards an additional qualification in children and young people. This means there's a high turnover of staff, which is not what you need when you're trying to build relationships. And it also means if a child doesn't click with an assigned school counsellor, they are not usually offered another one. It also means the pay is shocking. School counsellors currently receive £13.79 per hour, and they are paid by the hour. And there are counsellors working with children and young people without any practical experience or specific training with these age groups. And the second concern is current counselling training does not incorporate neurodiversity training as part of the overall diversity modules. Autistic people make up approximately 1% of the population, but 11% of suicides, and that's not taking into account the figures on ADHD diagnosed and undiagnosed. Neurodiversity and anxiety very often coexist. The current NICE guidelines on therapy state that any form of therapy needs to be adapted for autistic clients, but does not offer any guidance as to how. So I would like to see some safeguarding within the motion, and I can put my amendment to the motion into the chat if that could be considered.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to put it into the chat, Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you. I can do that now.
We'll take a minute to... for Councillor Truesdale to add that in.
So, can I just clarify with yourself, Councillor Truesdale, what exactly it is that you're asking? Because I've already accepted the amendment previous.
we're just going to have a 5 minute adjournment to we get ourselves
proposer and seconder.
Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Devlin. Second by Councillor Byrne.
5 minutes. So
5 minutes. 5 past 7. So if everybody's back for 5 past. Well, we do. Shall I get a near it?
Yeah, near it.
I was a near it. The Byrne tap didn't work.
Right, where do we start here? So, just check then if Councillor Gilbreth wants to accept that amendment.
Councillor Gilbreth, do you accept Councillor Truesdale's amendment?
But, Chair, thanks very much again for letting me back in. I understand the nature of what Councillor Truesdale is asking for here, but I feel that it's taken away from the motion that was totally inspired by the young people that I was working with. So on this occasion, I would like to say that I'm not going to accept that amendment. But like I had to do from last month to this month, it might be worthwhile, Councillor, that you maybe bring this back as a motion of your own at next Council.
Councillor Truesdale, do you wish to withdraw your amendment?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's see then. If he has spoken to it. Councillor Bassey has comment.
Councillor Bassey?
It was in relation to the amendment, so it's withdrawn, so it doesn't matter.
Has a comment.
Sorry, Councillor Hanlon. No. Okay.
So then is everybody
Is everybody right, Councillor Gibbeth, just like to sum up?
I'm not keeping this too long because I wasn't expecting that to happen there. So listen, thank you very much for letting me through and I'm sure the young people will be totally appreciative of everything that we're doing this evening. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbeth. Is everyone in agreement? Item 19 is a notice of motion supporting fair pay for workers. This motion will be heard tonight. Councillor Hanlon, if you would like to read your motion.
So this council extends solidarity to education workers and teachers who recently took part in strike action, acknowledges these workers are vital to running our schools with transport, school meals, special education needs support, hygiene and other important services, supports them in their campaign for fair paying conditions and calls on the Department of Education, the Education Authority and the British Government to work together to deliver fair pay for these public sector workers. And it's going to be seconded by Councillor Declan Murphy. Okay, so Sinn Féin stand in solidarity with staff employed by the Education Authority and teachers who are taking strike action to secure a fair pay settlement. The striking workers who are taking industrial action for a fair pay settlement deserve our support and solidarity. These workers include school bus drivers, escorts, maintenance and catering staff, classroom assistants, playground supervisors and school administrative staff, cleaners, building supervisors and ground maintenance staff, who are all essential to the running of our schools. Teachers across the north deserve fair paying conditions. It's disgraceful that teachers have again been forced onto the picket line at a time when workers, including teachers, are facing a huge squeeze on their finances due to the cost of living crisis. Teachers are have consistently seen their wages fall in real terms year after year, and are worse off than their colleagues in the rest of these islands. This isn't good enough, and our teachers need to be valued. 13 years of savage Tory cuts have stripped our public services to the bare bone. In the absence of an executive, the British government should immediately bring forward a fair deal for public sector workers here. Public patience is running out. Workers can't wait any longer, and we need an executive restored now and all parties working together to support public sector workers and services. Sinn Féin is clear, these workers should receive the pay settlement to which they're entitled to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Murphy, do you wish to speak to the motion? Thank you. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The SDLP group welcomes the motion and fully supports it. I was on the picket line last week and spoke to teachers, classroom assistants and other staff in St. Patrick's Primary School across Midland. And it's an angry frustration at this point. You know, they're looking at the difference in pay across the regions. You've got England starting salary sitting at just over 31,000. Wales are just under 30,000. Scotland to move up on the 1st of January to 38. And Northern Ireland sitting at 24,000. I mean, it's shocking the level of the pay gap between the regions. And they were saying to me, there was one teacher that actually had started just when I left school. It was the last day of Friday. And her words were, why would a newly qualified teacher stay here and teach in the north? You'd go south or you'd go over the water and teach there because of certain salaries far, far higher. Councillor Hanlon talked about the real terms pay. I think it's over since 2010, 2011, since the initial pay freeze. The real terms pay has been down by 20%. That's unsustainable going forward. Here in the north, we are devaluing the profession. A profession that when I went to university was one that I was absolutely adamant I was going into. Made a big quick U-turn very quickly after the first couple of years. But I take my hat off to anybody who's in the profession. But we're making it more difficult to recruit new teachers. And you know who suffers? The children. The children suffer because we're pushing, educating teachers here in our universities and then pushing them overseas or down the south to take up a position that actually respects the work that they do. Chair, the recent announcement of 6.5% award to teachers in England and Wales raises serious questions about pay parity across these islands. That decision would actually trigger a storm and consequential. So we would get that money over here as well, but it's not ring fence for education. And we're not even sure that it would actually not go towards the debt that has been building from the storm and overspend. Stormont is overspent by $300 million last year. And we know decisions that were taken by the Secretary of State that for the monies that were ring-fenced for the North here were then pushed into that overspend. So we're letting somebody unilaterally take decisions on any new monies that come from the UK government, and that's been pushed into debt. How can teachers and education workers have any confidence that any new pay or monies raised but the UK government will actually find a way to putting their pay up on equal with the rest of the regions around these islands. They can't. Neil Gibson, the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Finance, says we're on course for an overspend of $450 million this year. So it's only going to get worse. So I think we talked about, another thing is $75 million allocated from the autumn statement. I missed that one. That was redirected into the overspend. So we've had a Secretary of State that's saying from April that until, and it's nearly used as political blackmail, until you get back in and make these decisions yourself, any further finances raised by the UK government may go directly to this overspend, which is increasing by 50% this year. So all our services get worse, there isn't a chance of getting pay parity for people, and we lose people out of that profession. I know we're focusing on education tonight, but it has a knock-on effect right across the board. So we need long-term planning. And the only way we're going to get long-term planning is that we get an executive formed and we get people in there fighting for the rights of the people that we're meant to be representing. I fully agree with the warden of the motion. There's no amendment to it. All we can do is give support and solidarity to these people. Because we're standing on the picket lines, we're absolutely helpless to make any decisions. And the people in Stormont are absolutely helpless. There's parties that want to go in and make decisions, but we're helpless to do it as well. And if there is some package going to come that is going to get us back across the line and get an executive formed again, it's going to have to be to the value of $1 billion+. Because you're going to have to write off that overspend and you're going to have to take 600 odd thousand to get pay parity. And then make sure that we get back in there, that an executive makes decisions to make sure that Northern Ireland works on a sound financial footing going forward, because that forecast of $450 million overspend next year, that, you know, we can't keep doing that. That's where we have to get the multi-year budgets and have some grown-up politics in this place for a decade or more. But, Chair, we fully support the motion. We offer solidarity to those on the picket lines, but we want people to make sure that they get in and do the job that they're elected to do, and that is fighting with the UK government to try and get a fair funding arrangement for the North here, similar to what Wales got in 2016. they had a huge battle with the UK government, and they had their own devolved funding arrangement because their economy is different than England with lower wages. We should be fighting for the same. We can't do that at local government, so we need to make sure that those that can do it up in the Assembly are back in there at the start of next year doing that. But yeah, fully support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, and we support the motion too. All staff members in our schools deserve to be paid fairly for the vital work that they do, and we are supportive of their right to engage in industrial action. As it stands, this system is absolutely untenable and unsustainable. It is quite unforgivable that we currently do not have an education minister in post to support our schools. The DUP, seeing the indefinite boycott of the executives, having a profound impact across our public services, with children once again paying the price for their inaction. We should have a locally elected and accountable education minister in post who is able to engage with our teachers, set a strategic budget, and work towards a solution. Alliance will continue to highlight the need for reform of the institutions and the importance of getting the Assembly back up and running so that we can deliver for the people of Northern Ireland across all public services. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Jackson.
We support the sentiment of the motion. Our reps were out last week speaking with teachers on the picket lines, and we recognise the value of teachers and acknowledge that many keep their classrooms going out of their own pocket. The DUP want to see a fair deal for Stormont, proper funding to sustain financing of valuable workers. We are aware of the financial difficulties faced by the executive. If Stormont returned in the morning, these issues wouldn't be solved, and the UK government must recognise that a fair deal and adequate funding are necessary. We support the teachers, school workers, and want to see a sustainable budget which will facilitate better funding, bringing teachers into line with the rest of our UK counterparts. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Hanlon, would you like to sum up? I just want to thank all parties for the support this evening. I think we've covered off all the details that we need to, so just thank you. Glad the motion's passed. Item 20 is a notice of motion, town and city gift cards. The notice of motion is from Councillor Lee Surgener. This motion will be referred under Standing Order 16.1.6 to our ERT committee. If you would read your motion, Councillor Lee Surgener, and let us know who seconded it, please.
Thank you, Chair. This motion will be seconded by Councillor Enright. Motion reads, to support traders in the wake of recent flooding and help stimulate spending in the local economy, Council will explore setting up a local gift card or voucher scheme and subject to committee approval, support the initial set of costs of such a scheme. This would be similar to the gift card programs that have been highly successful in Enniskillen, Ballymena, Mid-Ulster and elsewhere, which are easily facilitated by a subscription service with a third-party provider. The intention will be to trial the scheme in Downpatrick initially, with potential for expansion to other parts of the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Surgener. Item 21 is a notice of motion on bank closures and Euro ATMs. It will be heard here at Council. If you just go ahead and read your motion, Councillor Mathers.
Going well, good Chair. Councillor Ina Hamlin will second this motion. This council notes its concern with Ulster Bank's decision to close another 10 of its branches, resulting in the loss of 21 jobs and removal of access to cash and face-to-face services. Acknowledges that the move towards increased digitalisation will make it harder for small businesses to access finance and for people to access cash, advice and ATM services. Recognises the worrying trend that 52 branches across various banks have closed in the last 3 years, and calls on this council to invite the financial services unions to make a presentation to the chamber regarding its campaign calling for Ulster Bank to reverse these closures, protect jobs and maintain its branch network, and supports efforts that would protect our local communities and prevent further branch closures in the next few years. The council recognises that a considerable number of workers travel across the border to work in our local economy in Uri and surrounding areas. We acknowledge the frustration that these workers have with there being only one ATM in Uri that dispenses their wages in euros. This council will write to the main banks and ATM providers to request that additional euro dispensing ATMs are provided in the city, and further calls on an incoming executive to set up a banking forum to look at the wider issues of access to cash and banking services. The closure of bank branches are a blow to local communities in Uri Mornington District. The announced closure of branches in Downpatrick, Uri and Ballinahinch are a blow to local communities and surrounding villages, particularly for the workers in those banks and their families. Local branches are a vital service for both small businesses and personal banking. The loss of these branches will cause huge disruption, particularly for people in rural communities who will now have to travel further to access the bank, and for people who are unable to use online banking. In recent years, the closure of banks in Warren Point, Newcastle, has had a huge impact on residents here. The closure of branches has further highlighted the need for accessible ATM machines, and in particular ATMs that dispense euros. Many employees in Uri and surrounding areas work in the south and require access to their salary in euros. It is inadequate to have only one ATM in the city, and often this depletes of cash very quickly, such as the demand from locals and visitors. And Chair, as a slight amendment to my motion, Sinn Féin proposes this council writes to the Financial Conduct Authority and urges them to intervene to put a block on any further bank branch closures. We support the FSU and their campaign to reverse the closures of these Ulster bank branches. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mather. Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. It really is deeply concerning to hear there may be job losses as a result of the closures, and my thoughts are with the workers impacted and their families. All efforts need to be made by Ulster Bank to redeploy and reskill workers from these branches. While the trend is towards increasing digital banking, for some customers this is simply not convenient or possible, and for rural communities, important services are disappearing. For many, including local people, businesses and communities, access to cash and a local bank is crucial. Having worked in banking for many years myself, I have first-hand knowledge of the service provided by staff who go above and beyond to look after customers. These banks are the hub of communities and a vital presence to encourage foot flow onto our high streets. Sinn Féin are going to meet with Ulster Bank in the coming days and will be asking for a reversal of these decisions and ensuring workers and their families are protected in the days and months ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. And since first been elected in Rowallan back in May 2011, 12 and a half years ago, the first bank to go was in Crossgar, in my own home village. And before we knew it, we've seen a steady drip of closures. Sinn Féin, Ulster Bank, sub-office closed, Killalea closed, and the latest in the litany, Downpatrick and Ballinahinch. You know, when I look at it, and when people do look at it, and I know previous speakers have alluded to it, once the bank goes, the heart of the community stops beating. You know, and you know, businesses, etc., you know, football, you know, around the villages would have benefited from people coming in to do their banking and then staying about the towns or villages and spending money within. But, you know, again, I do support in principle the motion and what it's about, and I do share the concerns. Like, I'm not computer savvy myself or anything like that there, and see online banking, I don't do it. Believe it or not, I still stick with the checkbook, and I stick with the basics. And I do, from my own personal experience, and I know other councils have touched on, you know, online, and it's like a maze, it's like an obstacle course getting round. And again, I do support the calls. Banks do provide a vital service, and that the powers that be in the banking sector should take notice of customers, because if it wasn't for customers, the banks wouldn't be there. So, look, I just thought I would share my views, especially when Rowallan, practically there's only the two or three banks left in the whole of Rowallan. But again, I share your concerns and support in principle your motion.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. The imminent closure of the branches and limited accessibility of post offices pose a critical concern for us in the Alliance. Therefore, we fully support this motion. With Ulster Bank announcing the closure of their ATMs installed outside their closing branches as well, the communities impacted faces a void in essential financial services, such as Dunhinch. Establishing accessible banking hubs throughout the district is imperative. Offering extended hours to accommodate the diverse schedules of residents, moreover, the dire need for more free-to-use ATMs that enables cash and check deposits and euro withdrawals option, especially given the proximity to the border, banking apps that is robust. So, therefore, it's more important than ever that collaborative efforts from banks are essential to ensure financial inclusivity and convenience for the entire community amidst these closures. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sergener. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I'm really pleased that this motion has been brought to Council this evening, and I also would like to share on behalf of the SDLP the concerns of the bank closures that we're seeing across our district. And it is also concerning that we in your set see the closure of Barclays in February 2024. It's clear that closing branches won't only result in the loss of jobs, but also reduce personal banking services for communities, businesses and those who really need it the most. While I commend this motion, I do believe that there are some further actions that we might be able to take, particularly if we look towards the example of the Kilkeel Banking Hub, which is set to open this week. In 2021, the banking industry agreed that following the closure of any bank branch, that Link, who are the UK's largest ATM network, will identify whether a community requires any further cash services. And on that, I would like to suggest, if Councillor Mathers would be amenable to it, that we amend the motion just slightly to say that we'll also contact Link and the Consumer Council to look at the assessment of cash services and the need for Euro ATMs, as that might actually strengthen the call for that, because there are so many people in Uri who require that, and also that the Council potentially looks at a banking hub within Uri, just in relation to, obviously, we have a lot of people who come in from rural communities, and I think that would be really useful if Councillor Mathers would accept that.
Councillor Mathers, are you happy to accept Councillor Finn's amendment?
Yes, happy to do that.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah?
Thanks, Chair. Aidan, to be quite honest with you there, this motion is very relevant, so it is. I don't know if you did it intentionally, but I don't think you did there. You failed to mention Moran and Kilkeel, say that we have lost all our banks, but if Councillor Finn says, the banking hub is especially opening there with Valerie on Wednesday, so it is. And whenever we lost the three banks, or the five banks in Kilkeel that has come from, it's come down to nothing now, so it is. We were pretty much left with the credit union and just the post office. The post office does not deliver, so it does not the same services whatsoever. It's a wee bit more awkward, so it is, in every way, especially for businesses. So with bank closures, the template of banking hubs for the likes of Kilkeel and that there is a big way forward, so it is. It leaves it open for those who are not savvy on their IT with computers and that there. So there is, I know since it's really came clear that we definitely were getting in Kilkeel, everybody's been looking forward to it. Just with any bank closing, I think, isn't it Warren Point, maybe Newcastle, and there, Warren Point in Kilkeel is going to be highlighted now for a banking hub as well. So hopefully, whenever that all comes into place here, it will help some people so it will, but to lose a bank is just a devastating commercial thing for any village so it is, or any small town. So, Aidan, thank you for bringing the motion forward here. I'm not going to amend it or anything like that there. And with the Euro ATMs, we just don't have that problem. You can choose. Everything's sterling. Thank you.
Councillor Brennan.
I just want to put on record my real concern about the loss of 21 banks with very, very short notice. If you can imagine what the staff in these banks are thinking of in the run-up to Christmas, I'm sure many of them have children, families, etc. When it comes to Ballinahinch, just going around after the announcement was made and speaking to people in Taconic, Annacloy, Drumminess, Spa, that's where they go for their banking. It's been mentioned that we're taking away the face-to-face customer reaction, and that to me is a shame. Elderly people, we've already heard from one councillor who doesn't do online banking. There's many people, and if they use the banks or the post office as that little bit of human interaction as they travel into town. Just to say that I'm very, very disappointed, and to tell you the truth, to me it's not acceptable, especially when you consider that Ulster Bank is a subsidiary of RBS who made over £1,000 million profit in 2022. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Brennan. Councillor Mathers, if you'd like to sum up.
Jim needs his mic.
Jim, thank you.
In summing up, I'd just like to thank everyone for supporting the motion, and I would hope that the decisions are actioned as per the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 22 is a notice of motion from Councillor Andrews on cystic fibrosis medication. If you go ahead, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Andrews, you're on
There's
mute.
No, I think I've got the microphone on now, Chair. I hope so. Again, technology and me don't agree. And I'll read the motion, and Councillor Davlin will be seconding the motion that this council notes with extreme concern proposals by NICE to remove its NHS recommendation for Caftrio due to rising costs. It calls upon NICE to reconsider this proposal without hesitation, to make such medication available to all in need, and will write to the Department of Health to request an assessment of the efficiency of this drug to help save lives since its introduction in January 22, and to consider amending the minimum age for recipients of this medication to 2 years of age, so as to ensure that all those who suffer from cystic fibrosis have the best start in life. Madam Chairperson, I say Councillor Davlin will be seconding the motion, and you know, and the principal of the motion is calling for Caftrio to be made available for children with cystic fibrosis, and for this availability to be extended to children aged 2 upwards. I was contacted by concerned constituents about the NICE proposals that will have a severe impact on the availability of this miracle drug. Medication that helps keep children healthy and living a normal life and is effective, going to be taken away due to cost and being too expensive for the National Health Service. This action and these proposals, in effect, are putting a price tag on the lives of so many children at this stage in their young lives. If enacted, those with cystic fibrosis will be in hospital more frequently and sadly dying younger. Thinking about it overall, and think about it in a few weeks' time, if this decision is taken and Caftrio, this wonder drug, is taken away, many parents and loved ones will be looking at their children, and with this cost-cutting decision, knowing as a result that due to this essential lifeline will cruelly be taken away. There are other health conditions that are impacted severely by similar proposals, which I believe are blinkered and short-sighted, and tonight I'm urging that Council will write to NICE, the Department of Health, the other 10 councils in Northern Ireland, and also to the Prime Minister, sending our message that we oppose this and seek reversal that this medication and others be allowed to be supplied to the National Health Service. And summing up, I'd like to leave you with the thought, what price is a life? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. And a huge thanks to Councillor Andrews for raising this issue. Thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you, Chair. Third time lucky. As a mum of 2 young children myself, it's hard to even imagine the torment in knowing that help in the form of medication is out there, but your child cannot avail of it due to cost. As any parent will know, if your child is sick, you will go to any lengths to relieve their pain and suffering. So to think that a price has been put on their life is abhorrent. I'm really pleased that Terry has tabled this motion and is pushing for the medication that is so badly needed, and in doing so is shining a spotlight on this really important issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank Councillor Andrews for submitting this motion. The Council and Sinn Féin are fully supportive of the motion. I would add, having researched that NICE guidelines are also included in Orkambi and Sinkevi, I would also propose to amend the motion to include these also. Proposing to remove medication from NHS over cost is scandalous. These drugs significantly improve lung function, helping people with cystic fibrosis to breathe more easily and enhancing their overall quality of life. Parents fear without it their children will not lead normal lives. They promised at birth. Children who have been diagnosed and hoped with these medications will get better quality of life and live longer. This will be potentially taken away from these recommendations. So if Terry's amenable to it, we would like to amend that motion to include those other two medications.
The chairperson, I'm only too happy. Sorry.
Are you happy to?
I'm only too happy to accept Councillor Campbell's amendments. I think they're very worthwhile as, in spirit of the motion. So I'm happy to accept that. Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Children according to the lottery of their birth dates will not get access to therapies which are potentially life-saving that older children have purely on cost grounds. This quite obviously has a detrimental impact on the lives of the children affected, as well as those who care for them. So no, we as a party do not believe that this is adequately being considered for and by the NICE's deliberations and recommendations. As been alluded to before, parents or children have essentially been told that while there are clinically effective treatments out there, and they are too expensive to be recommended for use in the NHS. And again, as I understand it, the consultation on the matter is closed. However, the draft guidance is not final. The final guidance and that the comments received will be considered by NICE at a further appraisal to be published in spring 2024. With this in mind, we would support the motion and any further communication to NICE on this matter, conveying the sentiments of the motions and the sentiments expressed here by other councillors. So, yes, only to happy to support, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Andrews, would you like to sum up?
Thank you very much. Sorry. Sorry, Chair. I don't know what's going on with this technology this evening. I would like to thank members in the chamber and online for supporting tonight's motion, and it's a worthy motion. And again, look forward to hearing from NICE and others and hear what their views are on what they're considering taking away such a valuable drug and valuable medication to those who need it most. But thanks everybody for their support. Thanks again.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Could I just, before we make our leave for tonight, welcome Councillor Feehan to his first full meeting as a councillor. So you're very welcome, Killian. And just before we go, this is our last meeting of 2023. Thank God.
Can I take this
opportunity just to wish you all a very happy Christmas and a peaceful new year, and I see you all again in 2024.
Start singing now.
Thank you. Stay at home.